So welcome back, everyone. I think we've looked at e-commerce, we've looked at rural entrepreneurship, and one of the common things that come up is, what is the government doing about it? What are the NGOs doing? Now, government by itself will not be able to do anything unless it frames a policy around it, puts up a regulatory aspect. So in this chapter, what we'll try to see is, we'll try to understand what is the policy framework around e-com and rural entrepreneurship and the other regulatory aspects that has to be taken care by all the parties involved in the transactions. So obviously we start first with the role of e-commerce policies in rural business growth. So we have discussed and we've got many examples to prove that now e-commerce was a game changer for rural entrepreneurs, as it provided them access to markets which they typically didn't have. It provides them access to information which they didn't have before, as a result of which they are able to sell the products better, market the products better. But it also helps that the regulatory policy must be there in place to ensure there is a fair competition and protect the small business interest. Otherwise, the larger businesses with deep pockets can take advantages which the smaller business can't take. So the regulatory policies ensure there is a fair competition there. Now, obviously, the government invests in digital infrastructure to overcome the logistical barriers which are there in the rural areas. More importantly, even from a consumer side, you must have consumer protection laws that helps you to build trust and encourage online transactions. Imagine you are ordering something from a far place of Tamil Nadu or Karnataka, from Mumbai or Delhi. You don't know the partner, you don't know who's delivering, you have read about it. So how do you build trust? So the platform there acts as a trust thing, and the laws around it, which is there for my protection and your protection, helps us to move forward. Also, there must be policy support for enhancing the financial inclusion and access to the digital tools. Consumer protection. So, of course, the key national e-commerce policies, the first one starts with the customer, and that is consumer protection. So, there is a policy which talks about the pricing has to be transparent, how the payments have to be made secure. And if there are return policies, it must be very transparent and clearly spelled out. Also, consumer is giving his data both to the platform and also to the seller. So how do you ensure that there is data privacy and security? So there are laws which ensures customers and seller data protection, which will take care of it. Taxation and compliance. Now, obviously, two things which the seller always suffers is the taxation policies. So GST structure, how it has to be for rural sellers, and then complying to the taxation policies and other rules and regulations. So government has come up with the policies around it. They make it easier for, especially for rural sellers. Logistics and infrastructure. So government does investment to improve the last mile delivery for rural markets. Support for MSME. So SME, you have heard, which is small and medium enterprise. But even what happens if it's a startup or it's a someone which is recently started, yet to grow even into small category of SME. So for that, the government has made another category called MSME, micro SME. So there is special incentives made for this kind of business. This MSME tag helps to promote the rural small businesses. So what kind of policies and the impact these policies have on market access for rural business? So firstly, you have to register yourself with some agency. So what they have done is they made the process of registering and onboarding for rural sellers very easy. Now there are cross-border trade policies that helps in exporting of handicrafts and organic products outside the country. And there are incentives for digital adoption, like subsidies and training, which help the rural entrepreneurs adopt the e-commerce space. Government has also come up with their own portal called the Government E-Marketplace or GEM. Now, this allows small businesses to access procurement contracts. So, which the government comes up with their contracts, small businesses can access it, but they have to be registered on the GEM portal. Mobile and digital wallet systems, UPI and digital wallets have been introduced and encouraged so that they reduce the overall transactional challenges and also build trust in the entire system. How do they ensure fair competition through e-commerce policies? So you have they ensure that you have equal opportunities for sellers. So regulators prevent platform to make favoritism. So they have to give equal policy. Otherwise, your product could be very last in the queue when no one even goes and checks, and the preferred partners are on top. So to avoid that, the government comes up with the policies to ensure that you have an equal chance. Even pricing transparency, so they ensure that the policies and the rules ensure that all the hidden costs are eliminated. IPR protection or intellectual property rights protection, so the policies and the laws made by government safeguards the rural artisans from counterfeit products. Otherwise, how would they know what is original and what is not original? So there are promotions for local products also. So government has come up with a policy or initiatives like Vocal for Local, which boost indigenous businesses. Then you have, in spite of all this, if you have a challenge, if you have a problem, then they have come up with seller grievance redressal model, where once you put your complaint, there is a process set down on how it will be resolved, who will resolve it, by when. So there are timelines and it doesn't go on and on. So that is what it helps and encourages people to become a rural entrepreneur. Now, what are the challenges and opportunities for such policies create for rural businesses? So of course, the biggest challenge they have is the digital literacy. There are still people who are not digitally literate, and that acts as a hindrance. Limited internet connectivity, we have discussed, will always have challenges unless you make it seamless. And more importantly, if you make the rules and regulations very complex, then complying with that complex regulations can become difficult for a small-time partner or a seller. But the opportunities that gets created, the government programs, you can enhance the digital training. They can expand the logistic infrastructure for faster deliveries. You can have emerging e-commerce platforms catering especially to the rural entrepreneurs. So how do we see the future of e-commerce with the right policy in the rural growth? So if you continuously do the policy adaptation, then the key, that it would be the key to rural businesses' success, because most of the policies are made for their success. Through the policy, you strengthen the digital infrastructure. Thereby, once the digital infrastructure is strengthened, the adoption becomes much easier and more participation. The policies, if you put up, which encourages fair pricing and competition, more and more people would be willing to come and participate. And that will also have a sustainable growth for all the people who are there. You increase the financial inclusion through digital payments and give subsidies for small payments. So thereby, more and more people will go with the digital payment mechanism. And a robust regulatory framework will ensure that long-term e-commerce expansion takes place in rural economy. So how do we understand taxation and legal challenges in e-commerce? So as we know, e-commerce expands market access for rural entrepreneurs, but that also introduces some legal complexity. What are the key challenges for them? First is taxation. So they should know under which category of tax they form and pay the taxation tax amount properly in the right order, in the right form. Second, therefore, compliance of all these rules becomes a second challenge. And third is that because you are a single person army, maybe one or two more people, you will not be able to comply properly, or have you missed something? Then if there is any dispute, then how should you ensure a proper dispute resolution. So GST, with the advent of GST, even GST registration and monthly filing create additional burden for small sellers. So there are also now regulatory requirements to have product certificates and KYC verification to add compliance challenges in addition to taxation and everything else. And in all this, what the government has realized is you must have an effective dispute resolution mechanisms to protect the rural sellers quickly. So what are the GST and taxation issues for rural e-commerce? So the most important challenge is registration. The rule is saying that anyone who sells on e-commerce platform must have GST registration. Therefore, every rural entrepreneur who sells through any platform should have a GST. Second, platforms while paying back deduct 1% as TCS or tax collected at source, which means the seller at the end of the day, whether it's monthly, quarterly or half yearly and yearly, has to do reconciliation during the tax filing times. Also, the tax filing is a bit complex right now for small players, especially by having GSTR 1, GSTR 3B monthly returns. So you must have financial knowledge and also digital access to complete these forms. And if you outsource it, then of course there's a expenditure involved in it. Income tax compliance. So many rural sellers think once the money they have received in their bank account, that's it. But there are tax obligations, and if you don't fulfill it, it may lead to potential penalties. So that's another challenge which a rural entrepreneur face during this onboarding of these platforms. And also cross-border trade. Sometimes international sales involve custom duties and foreign taxation laws. Most of the artisans or farmers kind of miss it, and then suddenly they find themselves in a tight spot. What are the other compliance requirements? So they have to do KYC and registration with GST, PAN and bank verification. That means they need to have bank verification or bank account. There are product regulations on food, clothing, handicrafts. So you must comply with it and you must have labeling laws. There are data privacy laws on how you handle customer data. And this has come about with the Data Protection Bill Act. Or act that came a couple of years back. Also, you must have formal documentation, but very unorganized rural business may not have invoicing and digital records. So that is a big challenge for them. And because they have digital literacy barriers, it actually causes delay in completing the compliance procedures. Because if you don't know the rule, or you are a single person and you're caught up in some other work, then you tend to miss the dates, the compliance date, and then there is a delay, and then there is a delay penalty, and so on and so forth. So that's the reason why you have to be well prepared as a rural entrepreneur or any entrepreneur to address all these points. So therefore, the rural seller, while they will participate in the dispute resolution process, they may not understand the entire thing that goes, because they may not be so familiar with English. So that's another challenge which they face. And while you have a deadline to help resolve the queries, the resolution can be delayed because there could be disputes over payment or damaged goods, and that can spread over a period of weeks, which may affect the cash flow of the seller. Also, lack of awareness. Many sellers are unaware of the legal remedies they have, the consumer court or mediation options. So they kind of just accept whatever the platform kind of directs them. Also, there's limited direct support as most disputes operate online, making access difficult for rural sellers. So these are the challenges which they face. So what needs to be done about it? So you have to simplify taxation for rural e-commerce sellers, obviously. So you can have a single window tax system. So you streamline the GST registration and filings, which can ease the burden. You can also have local tax assistance centers So you need GST Suvidha Kendras which can offer offline tax support to these rural sellers. Also for small sellers, if you can lower the compliance requirement, so by introducing a relaxed tax rule, it will go a long way in ensuring that they are not caught up in making payments unnecessary for delayed filings. Automated tax filing. Now, of course, with AI-driven tax assistance tool, you can reduce errors and improve the compliance. Also, ensure that you have a lot of training and awareness campaigns going on. So you can educate the sellers on taxation through workshops and especially use regional languages so that people can understand it much better. How do you strengthen legal and compliance support? So one is, of course, you must have localized selling seller training. So governments, NGOs must provide workshop on e-commerce regulation. You must have user-friendly compliance portals, because the more portals or platforms are simple and explain things easily, the more people will be compliant to it. Product certification assistance. Rural sellers need a lot of support in obtaining FSSAI and quality compliance label. So they require help in getting that. Fraud protection policies. So you must have stronger legal frameworks, especially to protect sellers from fraudulent transactions made by undesirable elements on the platform. And finally, ensure that you have financial inclusion initiatives explained to them by giving them digital banking support and tax assistance, especially for unregistered sellers as well. So how do you get more and more people get included on the platforms and in a nice way where they contribute in the formal economy is the key on ensuring compliance and economic growth. Enhancing dispute resolutions for rural entrepreneurs. So while you have all the dispute resolution process in place, the thing is the government should fast track grievance system. So you could have an AI driven mechanism for quicker seller issue resolutions. Also have a dedicated rural seller helplines which can handle multi-language support, so that the seller can speak in his known languages and try to get a resolution done. Have a third-party mediation before doing a formal legal thing, where these independent agency can ensure a fair dispute settlements. And wherever refund and chargeback policies are there, or platforms are using it to get more and more sales and more customers, so it helps in buyers. But also make it very fair and transparent, and ensure there are, you teach the sellers that this is what you are doing, so that sellers are aware that in case they get a charge back or a return of the goods, they will have to take back the goods at what price. So this, once there is clear, then they will be able to handle these things in a much better way. Building an inclusive e-commerce ecosystem for rural sellers. Now, once you address taxation and legal challenges, you have covered most of the big ticket challenges for rural digital success. So you come up with policies that can simplify tax compliance and ensure you have a better platform regulation so that the seller is protected along with the buyer. Ensure that digital infrastructure and literacy programs are organized in a faster frequency so that the sellers get the legal knowledges which they require to do business. The e-commerce should also implement a fair and transparent seller protection policies. You always have buyer protection policies. Similarly, the platform must ensure a transparent seller protection policies. You must strengthen the legal and financial frameworks which ensures a long-term growth for rural e-commerce. So ensure wherever there are loopholes, they get fixed, so that once the seller is protected and in a very fair and transparent way, more and more sellers can come because they understand the whole thing, and their products, their service or their process, they can keep improving to meet the requirements of the platform. Is there a role for NGOs and cooperatives in policy advocacy? So I think government by itself cannot reach everywhere in the way it has to reach. So there are NGOs and cooperatives which actually can help convey policy requirements, policy changes made by government to the sellers. At the same time, they can also give feedback which they receive back from the sellers to the government so that government can be updated on what is the impact of the policy that is happening on the ground. So actually, they bridge the gap between the rural entrepreneurs and the policy makers. So they explain the policy to the rural entrepreneurs in terms of market access, financial support, infrastructure, what government is doing, so that the rural entrepreneurs feel more confident in starting their business and or adding to their business profile to increase the rural economy. They also provide research and grassroots engagement to give data-driven policy recommendations. Cooperatives also strengthen collective bargaining so that no one takes advantage of small farmers or small artisans. So when they come together, they get the advantage of doing collective bargaining for rural business. And they play a key role in simplifying legal compliance for entrepreneurs because they help workshops, they help the person in case of any issues. So how do they do that? So first thing is policy representation. So the NGO voices the concern of rural business in policy discussions. So as I said, any feedback that they receive from the ground, from the rural entrepreneurs, they bring back to the policymakers' attention. What they also do is they do data-driven advocacy by doing a grassroots research that can highlight the challenges and need for rural entrepreneurs. So it's not only about word of mouth or hearsay, but also they collect data to show what they're saying, whether it's backed by data. Capacity building, so you can have workshops which educate entrepreneurs on their rights, schemes, and regulations which they have to use. They also influence financial policies because they push for easier access to credit and microfinance. And they do public-private partnerships, so they collaborate with government and industry to drive impactful policy change to keep both the sides balanced and address the core issue. Now, what is the role of cooperatives in navigating the legal framework? So first thing is you get collective compliance. So cooperative assist members in tax filing and ensuring the regulatory requirements are met. More importantly, they negotiate for better subsidies and market conditions for their members. So they have something known as bargaining power with the government. They also provide guidance on licensing contracts, help the entrepreneurs with the labor laws, fulfillment of it. In that way, they support the entrepreneurs with legal support. The cooperatives also ensures that subsidy application, funding access, so entrepreneurs take advantage of government schemes that are for their benefit because individually they may not know, but as a cooperative, the cooperative ensures that everyone applies for it and gets the benefit which the government is providing, or at least be aware of these government schemes for them. Market stability, so they ensure fair pricing for agriculture and rural products, thereby ensuring a market stability. So how do you strengthen policy advocacy through collective action? So one, you advocate for relaxed tax rules for micro sellers. In a way, you simplify taxation for small business. What you also do, you come try to influence policies to ensure better digital and transport network. So help in infrastructure development, rural infrastructure development. Other thing that you do is you push the government or policymaker to come up with low interest loans and microfinance for rural entrepreneurs. Thirdly, they ensure that there is a fair e-commerce policies and buyer protection along with the seller protection. And wherever technology can be infused, they can advocate for their digital literacy and ensure there is effective internet access, there is effective training, and with more technology can be used by the rural entrepreneur. What are the success stories in policy advocacy? So you have SEWA, Women's Entrepreneurs Program, where they've come up with secured pension and insurance for all women who are part of that cooperative for self-employed women. Amul Dairy has come up with stable milk pricing and farmer subsidies. Pradhan support for tribal artisans have integrated tribal crafts into government's e-commerce platforms like GEM. Kerala Fisheries Cooperative have helped the fishermen there who are part of the cooperative to get subsidies for eco-friendly fishing practices. Digital Empowerment Foundation for Internet Advocacy. So through them, they have improved the rural internet, which has really jumped the e-commerce growth in that region. What are the challenges and future opportunities in policy advocacy? So, of course, there is first challenge is the regulatory barrier. The more complex policy you make, the less rural participation will be there in formal market. So the policy has to be simple to understand. Also, the policy has to be communicated to the last mile, because many rural business may not be aware of the support policies which the government has come up. There is, of course, an infrastructure a gap which needs for better logistics and digital connectivity. And you have to keep expanding successful models like Amul and SEWA at the national level. And the government has to ensure that their engagement is sustained and have a mechanism for feedback so that the policies remain relevant to everyone. What kind of consumer protection in e-commerce that you can bring in rural area? So obviously, e-commerce now provides rural consumer also with access to diverse products at very competitive price. However, not many rural people will be comfortable with these platforms, and more importantly, may not have internet access so easily to buy or participate in that. So what you are doing is you are ensuring transparency, you are educating these users how to use the application, how to be careful while making payments, and thereby prevent fraud. So you start building trust, and then they start using the platforms in a much better way. And as we've seen in the previous chapter, that 50% of internet access is done in the rural area and the youths are driving it. So the more prevalent they become, the more usage they increase, the more business will come. Therefore, protecting them also becomes very important. So there must be policies and checks and balances to ensure that the rural buyers are safeguarded from the deceptive practices or a delivery of a low quality goods coming to them. So you avoid fly-by-night operators who are set up only to fool these rural consumers. Also, in case the rural consumer has a grievance, then there must be a strong legal framework, and more importantly, access to the grievance mechanism to help them resolve their issues and build their confidence.